It feels great to be moving. We're a small group trailing behind Benha like ducklings. I'm soon lost in my own thoughts as we hike on the west side of the ridge, out of sight of the ship, and isolated from the other two landing parties. Looking west, I can see more of the landscape than on any previous landing. I notice I'm smiling. I'm feeling more intimately immersed in the wilderness than was possible on the ship or with the whole group on a beach landing. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be healthy and taking joy in hiking. I want to walk for hours. But after only 10 minutes, Risa calls for a photo stop. I resist, but soon I see the awesomeness of her call and pull out my own camera too. We've come to a saddle with a spectacular outlook across the fjord. In the distance, looking like ants, I see the largest landing party, strung out in single file, traversing the glacier. From this distance, they look perilously close to the calving front. We've gained perhaps 150 feet of elevation. Below us, and slightly closer to the glacier, is the stationary party. The bay is full of ice, a mix of bergy bits and flat remnants from the fast ice, which not too long ago made this bay a fine place for a polar bear to stroll. A big, fat, bearded seal lounges on a flat piece of ice drifting in the center of the bay. Across the bay, a large mountain covered in patches of snow looms up out of the eastern shore. The sky is littered with clouds. In the still black water, the reflections of the snow and clouds mingle with the bergy bits. The effect is stunning, but I'm grateful when we start moving again. We've resumed hiking for less than 5 minutes when Benha gets a call on his radio. We all hear Captain Joe's voice. "Benha, is Justin with you?" There are several minutes of trying to track down Justin. We have a strict system of signing on and off the ship so everyone is accounted for at all times. Eventually, Justin is found, napping in his cabin. We continue our hike. Within a minute, we hear the captain on the radio again. There is a bear approaching along the western shore. Western shore? We are on the western shore. We scramble back to the saddle, where we get a view back up the coast. Beyond the little stream where we left our gumboots and life jackets, I think I see the bear. It's a small yellow dot in the distance. I don't have a long lens on my camera, but I click away, hoping an enlargement will document the adventure. Then, off to the right, I notice another yellow dot, this one closer to the shore and moving towards us. Click. The first yellow dot, I learn later, was a reindeer, but the second dot is now clearly a polar bear, becoming more distinct by the minute. It approaches the stream, enters the water, and emerges near where we left our stuff. It continues to approach. I've hiked in grizzly country, and in a situation like this, no self-respecting grizzly bear would continue to approach a group of a half a dozen people. But the polar bear continues its steady pace towards us. My excitement is morphing into fear. It hits me that 21-year-old Benha from Patagonia, on his first trip to the Arctic, may be well-trained, but he isn't experienced with polar bears. Has he misjudged our safety? How long would it take that hungry bear to reach us if he decided to run towards us? Just as I'm feeling the need to act, I see Sarah standing among us. She has climbed up the side of the ridge from the stationary landing on the beach to join us on the saddle. Suddenly, the radio crackles again. "Evacuate now." We scramble quickly down the side of the moraine, down a scree slope and over patches of snow towards the water. I look out over the bay and see two Zodiacs zooming at full speed towards the shore below us. I'm one of the first to reach the shore. I leap into a Zodiac and immediately start encouraging others to hurry up. Not everyone is sharing my fear. Some are diligently washing their boots before boarding the Zodiac, as Captain Joe trained us. Others from the shore party are carefully packing away their gear, although that changes quickly with a shout from Sarah. Someone passes me my life jacket. Captain Joe and Ludo had waited until the bear passed our drop-off point, zoomed in to pick up our gear, and then rushed over to evacuate us. I look up, and my heart stops. I see the bear appear on the ridge just as we're pushing off from shore. The bear scrambles over the edge and then toboggans on its belly down a large patch of snow. In no time at all, he is on the shore we have just left.